Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful.
Oh, nice. Nicely done.
Okay.
Thank you, Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Excellent. All right. So, meanwhile, we will go live on Mixler. Yep, we are live on Mixler. We will go live on my recording. And we will go live on Spreaker. All right. And last but not least, live on the Googles. Ask the podcast coach for January 3rd, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
It's a new year. It's a new Saturday. It is Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcasting questions answered live. I am your host, Dave Jackson, from the schoolofpodcasting.com. And joining me right over there, the one, the only, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how you doing?
Greetings, Dave. Always good to jump in and ruin your intro. Sorry about that.
That's all right. But if you're new to the show, you can find us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. You know what I always forget to do? Everyone in the chat room tweet that we are live.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone
good,
tweet.
Good call.
And,
I didn't tweet this morning. I should do that myself. I do. I think I do it automatically. I think I use a if this, then that.
Yeah.
You know, recipe to get that done.
But yeah, first one of the year, 2015, is amongst us. And let me see. I have exciting non-podcasting news to share, and I'm going to show you.
Oh, sweet.
If I can get a picture to come up on my screen, then I'll share my screen. Yepper. Now give me 2 seconds. And I realize for everybody that is listening to this via audio was like, what? That, my friends, is that, let me get this out of my way.
Hold on. There it is.
That is my future son-in-law.
Oh, nice.
My stepdaughter got engaged on New Year's Eve.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, so... really nice
very
guy.
Cool.
He's a southern gentleman and has a really, really, really good job.
That's good. That's always good.
Yeah.
He's, in other words, he's not a podcaster.
He's not a podcaster. Yes. His family is in the oil business. So he's got a really good job.
Nicely done.
Yeah. So that was exciting. And, well, we should also say, you know what else is exciting? When people,
we have
when people call
open
in.
Phone lines.
Yeah, we have open phone lines. Speaking of that, let me go over to we're still playing with Blog Talk Radio. That number is, of course, 347-850-8007. Open phone lines. And we kind of have a tradition going on here. Kim has been calling in ahead of time because she can't make it. So here is a phone call. Or a question from Kim. It's a good question.
Hi, Dave and Jim. This is Kim from OnTheTablePodcast.com. I have to do an interview in the near future, and the person I'm interviewing does not have any kind of microphone, so I'm going to have to do it in person. So I have a little handheld digital recorder. How do I do this? Thanks. Talk to you soon. Sorry I'm going to miss the call-in this week. I can't wait to hear the answer online. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Kim. Also a member of the Cleveland Podcasters Group. So just to recap, and for the record, she wasn't calling from a cave. She used the phone line, 888-563-3228. And basically, in a nutshell, you know, that those call-in services just have horrible quality. So when I cleaned it up, it made it sound like she was in a cave. So the recap is she has a portable recorder. The person she's talking to, you know, I almost need to listen to it again. Did she say she was going to do this in person?
Yes, in person.
Yeah, because I think what I suggested for her to do is just to do what I call the Bob Barker, where you basically take the recorder and you point it at whoever is talking, and that would do it.
I've done a bunch of interviews, so I have a Tascam. Mm-hmm. I've got the DR07 here. This is a really inexpensive way to get in on these, by the way. Mm-hmm. These are $99. They don't sell this version anymore. The microphones are situated different now. But just hold that up to you. I've gone to conferences. It's important. These are condenser mics, so it's really important that you get a quiet room unless you want that ambiance of the conference or people around you, whatever, if you're looking for that. But hold it up, and I always wear earbuds with them so that I can hear what they sound like.
Right. That's the key.
And then, exactly, because you want to know if you've got the gain. This has got a gain level on it that you want to, right there, that you want to make sure you got right. It's got some little levels here. Every podcaster should own something like this to be able to go on the road and do stuff with. So I'm with you, Dave, kind of back and forth.
Yeah, I know the Zoom H1 is about the size of a candy bar. And it's $99 as well. I've heard okay things about that. It's not fair when you compare that to, the H5 or something like that.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Continue. This is always fun to listen to. There we go. And they're still here, and they're still on. Okay, so now, honest to goodness,
yes,
ending in 5673. You're on with Dave and Jim.
Hi, guys. My name is Dan, and
hey, Dan.
I'm the one that posted the original thing on Facebook about Crowdcast. That's what I would mention, the experience I had with it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, go.
The place where I discovered it was that there was a thing called WordSesh, which is for WordPress people, and it was a 24-hour session that every hour a different person came on through Google Hangouts and had a seminar. So actually about 45 minutes. And so it was run through Crowdcast, and I really enjoyed the way that it worked. Whenever I've been on native Google Hangouts, the chat underneath is very, it just feels very clunky, and I just haven't really cared for it much. But the chat on this scrolled up on the side right next to the window, so you could actually see both at the same time, which was nice. And the polls have worked really well in that context of, hey, of stuff do you guys want us to cover? And it was like voting up ideas.
And yeah, I did see that. On the call I have this morning, people have already sent me questions as to, different things, which is because I said, if you have anything you want me to cover, leave them here. And that way today, when I get ready to do that, I know exactly what I need to answer up front. And then of course, obviously it'll be a free for all. So yeah, it's interesting.
Dan, you're absolutely right. The chat in a native Google Hangout window is basically useless. I mean, you get about four lines. It's not real time. I mean, it is, but it takes a while for it to update. They must run a script that, every 10 seconds or something it updates. And so it's not a great experience. One of the reasons why I take the Hangout out of Google Plus, and we don't even emphasize a Google Plus page at all. I don't like people getting confused out there, and we move them on to our own live page. Dave does the same thing here. I can see when I test out the service, I can see the value to using something like that, like Crowdcast. Google had its own version of it with Q&A and some other things going on with Hangouts, where I could see in that kind of scenario, it would really, really work well. It sounded like a big group, a lot of diverse people, maybe they weren't it's a group that's not necessarily used to getting together all the time. They're trying to get constant feedback from the audience, those kinds of things. So I can see where that came in, where that would come in handy to use something like that in that kind of scenario. So I'm sure it worked really, really well when you were watching it.
Yeah, it did. And the fact that it ran for 24 hours straight was kind of a nice stress test on the system, and there were no flaws that I'm aware of.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's worth a look. I think if you're going to do some kind of webinar, it has a lot of implications for the webinar style, where maybe you've got, like I said, you've got a disparate group, or they're not used to getting together very often, or whatever. They're onto something there, that because they're embedding it, and it's got a, you know, it basically is an app now inside of Google Hangouts. So I think there's some good options. I think I'll keep looking at it. I didn't like the layout. I tried it, set up a Hangout, did a couple test ones for what I do for my podcast. I just didn't like the way it was laid out, and I didn't get a lot of customization on it. So I was kind of like, I wouldn't just flip over to this. Like when I went to Chatwing we used live stream chat for the longest time. When I went to Chatwing, within 10 minutes, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. This works well. I didn't get that same feeling with Crowdcast, but my podcasts are just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Also, do you have the podcast, Dan?
Back over to the. Excuse me?
That's right. Go ahead. I don't want to change the subject.
Hopefully, you know, send over the that feedback over to the guy who runs it. There might be ways that they can do a customization of the layout since it is new.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might. You know, I think it was Jim who over there who reached out to me several times and was like, "Hey, is there anything I can do to help?" I just haven't had time to respond. So to be fair, I didn't get back to them, but it's definitely worth a look. I mean, it's one of those, I think it's one of those tools that you kind of keep in your back pocket, and you know, it's one, certainly I'll probably keep following just to kind of see where they go. And, and you know, they're changing all the time. So it might be worth keeping an eye on.
I just wanted to, kind of touch base with you guys and let you know from, you know, personal experience of what I saw with that. Can you hear me?
Now he's back. Now you noticed.
Dan, are you back?
He's back
now. Okay. Now I can hear
you.
That's
weird. I didn't Sorry. Touch a button. I'm telling you, ghost in the machine. All right, here, let me.
Dan, while Dave's doing that, you have a podcast?
Yeah, I produce the Miskatonic University podcast. It's a little different from your usual fare. It's about a role-playing game that I enjoy. And
nice.
Here at mu-podcast.com.
There you go. Easy to spell.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and making sure we covered that fairly.
Yes, sounds cool. I'll be interested to play with it today. I'll have to report back next week.
All right. Thanks,
awesome.
Guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Take care. Yeah, I did find out I was playing with Blog Talk Radio this week. When you put you on, quote, on the air, I believe it goes ding. So you'll kind of know when you're
ding.
Yeah, you dial in, you press 1, and of course that number is 347-850-8007. That number again, 347-8007. And you press 1 to say I want to speak to the host, and then when I put you on, you hear a ding. So
hey, not that it matters, but Keith was saying that he couldn't see me on video. You don't have it locked on you.
I was locked on me for a bit, yes, because I was doing something while there was a phone call, and I put it on you because it's always on me.
It's always fun. It's always fun. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter. Nobody, you don't really need to see me anyways. It's not that great. Not that great of an experience.
But here's the question. You know, a common question I keep getting. Do I think Serial is going to bring a huge amount of people to podcasts?
Oh, this is a great conversation.
And for me, the last time I saw like a really like wow kind of like hockey stick kind of spike, for me at least, was like iTunes. I mean, we've had things that have boosted it. You know, don't get me wrong. But in terms of like where things just went like off the chart kind of thing, it was iTunes. And I've seen things, you know, the numbers are always going up slightly, And so when things like the, you know, the smartphones came out, now you don't have to sync anymore, you know, that boosted things. And but to me, because I've been telling people, I keep seeing all these screenshots of Apple Car Care, and I'm like, I don't think that's going to be a huge one. I really don't, because right now I get in my car and the Bluetooth just automatically syncs it. I don't need anything in my dashboard. It already knows to look for my phone and, you know, done deal. So I'm not sure what the deal is that what do you think, Jim? I mean, does it bring listeners? Sure, because there are people that are listening to podcasts now that weren't. But in terms of a giant spike, I don't know.
Well, a giant spike in our own shows, probably not right away. A giant spike in or a long-term increase in listening, absolutely. So I think, you know, because it was crazy. In 1 week, I had three people who I know never have listened to podcasts before go. And they came to me because they knew I was a podcaster. They're like, hey, did you listen to Serial? It's the best thing ever, right? Well, what happens when Serial's over, right? They go, I wonder what else is out there. And so they start looking, and if they know you and they know, oh, hey, maybe I'll try your podcast, they'll try that. So I think, you know, Serial and Startup and, you know, some of those other ones, I think they're really, really, really good for podcasting. We need to encourage them. We need to make sure they're getting supported. We need to make sure those things are happening. We need some of those big home runs to start pulling people in. It's kind of like, I think, the current burst in podcasting in general. We're seeing more and more people podcasting, I think, today than we ever have. I think one of your 2015 predictions from Podcasters Roundtable, right, in that group was that we'd see a lot of people start and fail. I think that's okay. That kind of needs to happen in some ways, because those folks will start, they'll expand the rubber band. I kind of see this as a big, gigantic rubber band, and it will never actually go back to its original length, right? It gets expanded. And then it'll shrink back when those podcasters fail. But those people who found podcasting will look for other podcasts. I know there's a big concern that people will be turned off by bad podcasting. And that's just a necessary risk that has to happen in order for podcasts to expand. So it's gonna happen that way. I mean, how many bad radio shows are there out there? And still people still listen to radio, right? So I don't necessarily think it's bad that, and then bad is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to some podcasts that I get through one or two and I'm like, oh, we were talking, we won't mention names, but we're talking about one in the pre-show. And I'm like, for me, everybody loves it and I hate it. I'm like, oh, I can't stand those guys. But it's a personal preference, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things where beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So I think Serial is really good. We need a couple. I mean, Serial is a home run. I mean, it is a home run out of the park, in the water. I mean, it is gone. We need a few more of those, and we need them in different genres to really expand what we're trying to do here. And get the key, I think, is get people listening to it on their phone. This week, I thought, in my offerings from here on out, when I'm talking about podcasting, I'm going to mention two apps. I'm going to mention the Podcasts app on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mention Stitcher on Android, because Android's a mess, right? It's a terrible, awful mess when it comes to podcasting. But Stitcher will bring it all together. Sure, the audio is not great. Sure, they just got bought by Deezer. Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah.
But I think it's a unified platform that people can get. We have to get them to get on and listening faster, right? How can we say a School of Podcasting and boom, they bring up their phone, they go to Stitcher, they find School of Podcasting, they subscribe. It needs to be that fast. So I've just kind of resolved that I'm not going to talk about, you know, Shout Engine. I'm not going to talk about Audio Boom. I'm not going to talk about SoundCloud. I'm not going to talk about those. I'll mention them. I'll post to them. It's Stitcher, podcast app. Those are the only two that I'm going to focus on, because we got to get people to get them on, to get that stuff on their phone. Because you're right. You get in the car, you've got your phone on you. Right.
Yeah.
That's where it needs to be at. So.
Mine actually annoys me. I'm trying to tell my car to quit looking for my phone, because I'll have my earbuds in and all of a sudden I'll be like right in the middle of a cool point and it's like all of a sudden, bleh, and then I see my dashboard spinning looking for the Bluetooth device and I want to go, no, quit. I'll just listen to my earbuds. We're good. And it drives me crazy on that. Hey, this is a School of Podcasting thing, but I can throw one of these in here, I think. Oh, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm battling it. You guys can't hear it. You guys hear any echo of me today?
I don't. You don't have any
No, nothing.
You don't have anything else.
I have every,
maybe Spreaker or Mixler still playing?
I have me muted. I have everything but me and you muted. So I don't know, you know, what it is, but there's this ever so slight delay, and I even have the phone. I thought maybe somehow through the phone, you know, and I've double checked. I'm not sending, you know, I'm sending me to the phone, and then, but for whatever reason, it is an odd little delay on me. But we can do this now. There we go.
In case you missed it,
it's time for a podcast rewind.
If you've ever wondered, what your microphone sounds like, or if you thought about getting a headset microphone, or you thought about getting a Blue Snowball, or you thought about getting a Yeti, Jessica and Elsie over at She Podcast, which is an interesting podcast in the fact that, you know, they say men and women are different. And that's true. And it's weird because, you know, how, you know, if we go stereotypes, guys are just lunkheads that get to the point, and women will give you tons and tons of detail. And I find that to be true. And they did an episode, they asked their audience primary. I was so tempted to call in and go, yes, hi, this is Jane. I use, you know, but they asked like, what did they learn from podcasting? What was their gear and things like that? What's interesting is a lot of people in that circle, for whatever reason, are using Yetis and Snowballs. From my standpoint, is always kind of like, hey, it's a condenser mic. You might want to think about going with a dynamic. It's not, and you'll hear where they don't really sound bad. It's not sounds like they're in an echo chamber. It's not as bad as maybe people say it's going to sound. But somebody comes on in a headset, and that's where I went, that's a good example, because everybody's like this, and then all of a sudden somebody comes on and they're like this. Hi, I'm on a headset, and you know, it's like, wow, there's a big difference there. So there is some interesting information.
Unless they have a really nice headset. I mean, I've got a kid who's podcasted with me, Christian, and he's got a Sennheiser. It's
nice.
A $300 headset, right? And it's like TV quality. It's like the you know, well, not quite what the guys use on TV, but pretty darn close. And it sounded really good. So that's, but you're talking about one of those Plantronics cheap headsets.
The $29.
Right? Yeah.
And but it was interesting because the advice for almost everybody was just start. You can't get better till you start. So it's an interesting episode. You can find that over at She Podcasts, I believe with an S. And I was listening to that. It's an interesting show. Going back to that is I did my, if I can only listen to one podcast, and I swear I have to change that question next year, because this year I said, if you're on a desert island and you could only listen to one, and I had people actually make their decision based on the fact that they were on a desert. Like, well, because there's no this, and I might be doing something in the sand, I'm going to listen. I'm like, so next year it's going to be if you only have enough bandwidth to listen to one podcast.
Funny.
It was kind of funny. But,
it was funny. I'm like, no, he didn't literally mean if you were on a desert island.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. And of course, my audience is primarily male. So we doubled our female, which was cool. People that called in, we had two this year, where the previous year we had one. And it was interesting because she went into an enormous amount of detail about her podcast and things like that. So I just thought to me, I always love when stereotypes are somewhat true, and it made me smile and giggle and that whole nine yards. So,
I'm finding that I've been doing some, well, with Gallup, I do a lot of podcasting where it's somebody's first time on a podcast, and we ship them a microphone when we do it. We ship them one of these ATRs. You know, I bought about 10 of them, and we ship them all around. And by the time I've shipped it like five times, I probably could have bought another one. But it makes sense to reuse it, right? Those kinds of things. So what I'm finding happening is people use these things, and we make them wear earbuds, and they'll plug in, and they'll hear their own voice in it, and they'll hear how good quality it is, and then they'll say, can I buy these things?
No.
And yeah, I'm like, because they think it's like a $400 setup is what they think, right? They see these microphones and they're like, man, that's pretty badass. You know, how much is this? And I'm like, it's $50 on Amazon. And I cannot tell you how many people I've had go, oh, I'm buying one today.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things. I think even for the average guy, having a better microphone, you don't have to have the arm and stuff. You can set it on your desk with the tripod that's there. But if you do a lot of audio work, I think it's worth having one. And the people I talk to that hear me on them go, man, that's really, and I'm like, yeah, and I can actually hear you because I have earbuds in, you know, that it's, you're not, oh, what, and there's no echo and stuff like that. So I'm just finding an openness now to some of this stuff that we've been doing because it just gives better, it just gives you overall better quality. And people don't want to wear a headset, you know, they don't want to, they feel nerdy in that. And yet somehow a microphone sitting on the table seems fine to them. So Oliver mentions the Samsung Q2U is $38 on Amazon right now with headphones, and those headphones aren't very good, but yeah, that's a good, and I mentioned this before, and I have to buy these microphones in the international markets, and the ATR 2100s are not available in every country.
Right.
And so we almost always default back to the Samsung Q2U. I did a Q1U. That was probably a mistake. I didn't, at the time I didn't know, but looks like we have a caller.
We do have a caller. Ending in 8065, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Jim and Dave. This is Bill Conrad. Happy New Year.
Oh, please tell me my phone didn't. I haven't. My phone is sitting on the shelf.
Can you hear me?
I have you muted. I can hear you now. There we go.
There we go.
Hey, I'll rewind. Dave and Bill. Dave and Jim, this is Bill Conrad. Happy New Year. Had to do a rewind.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, hey, pretty good. Pretty busy, as always. Hey, you're hitting on my topic. You know, equipment and microphones, the ATR-21 is excellent. I've got a couple of them. I actually had one go bad. But the place I've had challenges is in the mixer business. I have a, it all happened when I got a PR-40. And I can't
hear it.
So when I got the PR-40, the mixers can never drive them. I've got a new Pro FX8. I've got everything pushed all the way up to gain up, and I'm still having challenges. I mean, it sounds a lot better than what I had.
Well, one of the things you can do on some of the higher end mixers, you can solo the microphone, and it will show you basically how loud that microphone is, like the input coming in, not so much how loud
right.
the overall, but in terms, so, you know, have you given that a shot?
No, I haven't. I just got this Pro FX8 before Christmas and I played with it. I might even send it back because it just doesn't have the, but the ATR-2100 generally do a great job.
Yeah, the Hyo is kind of famous for not having a lot of punch. I got to remember what Ray uses. Is it a FET head? There's something head that boosts microphone with clean boost of 20 dBs.
Right, you can add.
Those I've heard are really, really good. It's like a little built-in preamp. I'll have to ask Ray.
You don't use you don't use a PR-40, right?
I don't use it. I use this is an RE-320, the Electro Voice.
Yeah.
The thing I like about it is there is, you know, if I get super close or far away, some microphones, if I do that with a, you know, most microphones, there's a thing called a proximity effect, and I can, you know, I can get really close and get super bassy. And I like the fact that I've got this running through a compressor, so I can kind of get, you know, I can move around. I'm looking at different screens, and it doesn't really change the volume a whole lot, and it also doesn't change the sound of it. Yeah, cloudless and FET head.
Yeah. Hey, two other things about equipment. You're talking about the Blue Yeti. I do a podcast with a coder, WP Tonic, and he's a coder, and he's getting better, but he uses the Yeti, and I can definitely tell the difference from the Yeti and the other mics.
Yeah, it's definitely a good microphone. It's just a condenser microphone, and you just have to realize, I just did a thing for the School of Podcasting. I'm redoing some of the videos, and I had the ATR 2020 microphone sitting next to the 2100 microphone, and just I put my phone on in the background and put on a podcast and set it back there on the bookcase behind me. And I have a fan over here for a heater. And you listen to me talk to it through the ATR-2100 and you still hear it. It's not like it completely knocks out the background noise. But then the minute I hit the button on the condenser microphone, it was like that heater was like right behind me. It was like, well, how does it pick up a huge amount of sound? So.
Well, anyway, that's the challenge for the first part of 2015. I think it's going to be a really great year. Hey, I hope to send me the link. I hope to touch in this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so when you say it's not working, how do you know it's not working?
Well, the PR-40 and the mixer, the Pro FX8. Basically, yeah. I've got the gain turned all the way up. I've got all my levers turned up to try to get the volume. It's almost all maxed out, and I am getting pretty good sound. Overall,
and
I mean, it's pushed all the way up, though. I can't, for a mixer, you shouldn't be pushing everything all the way up.
Okay, but you can always turn up the volume. You can turn up the sensitivity of your recording.
Right.
So, you know, try turning, like, I have my RO5. 9 times out of 10, I have that thing, like, at the high, I think it's 80 is its input. That way I don't have to turn up my mixer that loud. Because when you turn up the mixer, even on a good mixer, you know, when you turn everything up all the way, you're going to get a little hiss going on. So I turn up my recorder so my recorder is like, you know, doing one of these things where it's got its hand behind its ears. It's listening as hard as it can. So I don't have to pump up everything so loud. And I have found that portable recorders, when you turn them all the way up, they don't really add a lot of noise to the recording. So that's something you might want to try as well. Go ahead.
I Skype. Most of my calls are on Skype, and I use Call Recorder, which the new, by the way, it's done updates on Skype Call Recorder, and they've improved it. But early on, I had a terrible time. I could never match my inbound call. But anyway, things are getting better. I really enjoy it. I've got like 3 shows, and the tech show is actually doing pretty well.
Okay, good. Excellent.
So anyway, hope to see you this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send me an email if you didn't get the email, and I'll make sure you have the link.
Will do. And Jim, have a good year. And also, I don't know why, but my cache always blocks you out initially. I always have problems initially signing on to the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's right. Just head over to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. That'll get you there.
I do. And when I bring it up,
somebody
I kept it up. I'll send you a pause. It always has the old show on initially. I sort of have to clear the cache or something.
Or refresh. Even when you refresh it after we've started, the new show doesn't show up?
Let me see. I've got the old link. Let's see if I'll refresh it right now and see if it shows up.
Refresh that because it should show the new show, the new Spreaker. One, Mixler's really good at this. You know, between Mixler and Spreaker, I like to actually use, I mean, I think the Mixler mechanics work better, but the experience is better on Spreaker. So at least that's the feedback we've been getting from folks. Is it there or not?
You know, I just refreshed and I'm looking back and forth. Yeah, it's there. I just refreshed it. It wasn't a cache issue.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes, if you catch us right at the very beginning, like just before Dave hits play, that player won't be there. That's the one drawback to Spreaker, is you've got to hit record for that player to change. Where on Mixler, it's a static player. It's just always, that player just always is the same one no matter what, and you just refresh it for the play button. So it's a little bit different, but we're glad that you made it in.
All right, thanks. Have a good one. And 215's here. Hua.
Take care, Bill. I have no idea what he meant.
I have no idea. 215 is here. All right. Excellent.
He's supposed to say back in the day.
the other thing I should mention that we're in the process of doing, because I made a tutorial about it for the School of Podcasting, is I'm still not quite sure what I was thinking. When I started the show, I made the RSS feed on the School of Podcasting. I guess I wasn't really thinking of making this its own brand. And so I have gone through the steps of I'm moving the feed, because right now it's like schoolofpodcasting.com/something/whatever. I was using a podcast channel on PowerPress, and I'm moving it over to askthepodcastcoach.com. So I don't know that that's going to affect downloads. You know, like are people that have already listened to episodes, are those going to be seen as new episodes? I guess we'll all find out. But I am moving that just because it's this, for the same reason I'm moving the membership site away. When you have more things on one site, it kind of, you have to, like, I know once I put Ask the Podcast Coach down the School of Podcasting pipe by accident, you know, and it's because it's just, here's the link for this. And the other one's like an inch and a half down. And I went, oh,
it's easy to do.
Yeah. And I went,
it's easy to do. It's that debate between having a network where you have all your podcasts on one site and having individual branding for each. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, and you kind of have to make that determination of, you know, does it make sense to split them up and have their own brand recognition, or does it make sense to have them all in one? channel.
Yeah, actually, we've got another caller. All right, ending in 4790. What's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Good morning, Dave and Jim. It's Barbara Phillips.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Awesome.
I have.
What can we do?
I have. Well, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And here's my question. I have the Zoom H5. And
okay.
When I use it in conjunction to doing a Skype call on my computer, it works pretty well. I've now tried using it to record sound when I'm on a Hangout, and I cannot get the volume up high enough. And if I turn the input, which I believe those are also called the gains, if I turn those up, then I get hissed, so I can't turn them up too high, but yet I cannot get good enough volume when I record a Hangout on the Zoom. So anything I should be doing differently as far as my setup? I'm using the same setup I would use with a Skype call.
I would go down to the little speaker in the bottom right-hand corner of your, you know, computer. Are you on a Mac or a PC?
I'm on a Mac.
Okay. Oh, this is where I need to really, that's a thing for 2015. Because now, like on a PC, go to the bottom right-hand corner with a Mac. It's like, oh, go to preferences. I'm trying to think, where is the, oh, it's in the upper right-hand corner. The little speaker in the upper right-hand corner. Make sure that bad boy's all the way up. Because you're taking the sound coming out of the computer. And so if that's, you know, way down, well, turn it up. And then you can turn down the recording on the, or the input on the recorder. That might be something to try. And then also in the hang.
I was just going to say that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because what I'm doing is I have the exact same settings that I would be using on a Skype.
Okay, which is?
Well, you know, gosh, now I can't even remember. I've got the XLR from the ATR. Then I have the other input into the, well, I don't have it plugged in right now, but I have that into the back of the computer where it works just fine. And then my microphone goes into the Zoom. So I guess I'm not understanding what you mean if I turn up the speaker. If I turn up the speaker volume on my computer that I hear through my headset, then it gets too loud, but that doesn't seem to affect the Zoom.
Okay. Run that by me one more time. So your microphone is going into the Zoom.
Correct.
Right?
And then
okay,
the Zoom is going.
And then the Zoom is going to where? How's the sound from the computer getting into the Zoom?
Let me see. Well, I have that plugged into the headphone.
Have that plugged
on the Mac.
Okay, so yeah, the sound of the Mac is coming out and going into the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
How is your microphone getting to the Hangout? That's my question.
Well, the microphone is hooked into the Zoom.
Right. But how is it? What microphone is it?
ATR 2100.
100, that's right. So you've probably got that going in via USB, I'm guessing, to the Hangout? Because I don't hear how.
No,
I
have it hooked into the Zoom.
Okay, but how is the Zoom
just
going
like
to the Hangout? Like, how do the people on the
Hangout
the
Zoom
hear?
Is. I have no idea, but it goes into the back of the Mac.
In the back of the Mac.
I'm using the same setup. I'm sorry. I think we're over-talking one another.
Well, what you probably need to do is just listen on the phone, because there's a delay between the video and the call.
No, I think she
I
is.
Am
it's
listening.
Just
I,
the, there's
yeah.
latency. There's just latency in this call. We've just got to be careful not to step over each other. So you almost have to ask a question and wait for the response.
Yeah. Are you using the Zoom as a USB device?
No. I don't have any USB hookups on the Zoom.
Can the people on the Hangout hear you?
Yes.
That's the head scratcher I'm like going, because I don't hear how the microphone is making it to the Hangout. It's plugged into the Zoom, but the Zoom is only listening to the sound, which would be your guest, coming out of a Hangout. So that's the part I'm confused on, is how is your microphone getting into the Hangout? Because it's going into the Zoom, but there's nothing going out of the Zoom into the Hangout. The only thing that's going on with the Zoom are things are going into it. So that's the part I'm confused on.
Mm. Over the phone.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm confused about, if this works with doing it on a Skype call, because this works perfectly when I'm doing my recordings via Skype, why isn't it working on a Hangout?
Let's talk a little bit about the difference between what Skype does and what Google Hangouts do when we talk about how they take over the various volume controls. So if you go into Skype, and I believe you can do this on the Mac version as well, but Skype often has its own kind of audio control in there, and a lot of people turn that off once they get their level set. So in other words, Skype will try to adjust your sound quality for you, but they give you the option to shut that off. So if you've turned that off and you've got your level set right on Skype, it's going to stay consistent all the time that's in there. So just go into the preferences on Skype and see if you have your audio levels either fixed or if you're allowing Skype to make the adjustments for it. That gets a little awkward on Skype sometimes if you're allowing automatic adjustments, because if you back away from your microphone, it will try and it'll sense that your volume is going down, so it'll boost your volume and you'll get this rush of wind sound that goes in. So, Barbara, not your problem, but I just thought I'd mention that while we were talking about it.
And I,
so check. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I think Alan has figured it out. She's probably going into the Hangout via her camera.
Yeah, well, so with you definitely want to check both on Skype what the input is, and then when you go to the Google Hangout side, you don't get those kinds of options on a Google Hangout, especially if you're in voice mode, right? Google is going to adjust things for you. You don't get any kind of volume control on what you're doing. If you change over to Studio and then you monkey with your mic settings in the Mac, you can actually have some control over what's going out. So, Barbara, my advice to you would be dig in a little bit to the settings on both the Hangout in your Mac and on Skype. See if you can see if there's a difference between those, because if all things being the same, and it sounds like we're trying to troubleshoot hardware that we probably don't need, if it's working for you on Skype, it should work for you on the Hangouts. But drop down into those settings in the Hangouts and make sure that both the inputs, the speaker and the microphone inputs, are exactly where you want them to be. That could be the difference as well.
That's it. And I don't know if this is available on a Hangout. I know it is on Air. You can go into a thing called the control room. Now, the nice thing about that is you can actually adjust the volume of your guest and you. So that's basically your mixer, which I know in my video on YouTube, I show you how you can use Skype as a mixer. I don't know that that's available on a Hangout. I know it is Hangout on Air, but I don't know about Hangouts, if there's a control room where you can adjust their volume.
Not just for the, it has to be on air for that volume control to be there. You can't just do it in a regular Hangout. But Barbara, does that help to go and kind of check those audio settings, make sure they're all the same and they're pointing the right stuff? Have you done that?
No, I haven't, but I do see that it is automatically adjusting microphone settings on Skype, and I do use Hangout on Air, but I will check that. Thank you.
Yeah,
gives you some settings to try, at least to make sure they're consistent from the Hangout to Skype.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Jim, if you could smile really pretty right now, I'm going to take a quick screenshot.
Barbara, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. You guys have a great year.
You too.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
That's right. Randy Cantrell says, monkey with the mic settings. That is the technical term for that.
Is that what I said, monkey with it? I think I did.
Yeah, but that's probably it. It's probably picking up the wrong microphone, because I didn't, you know, to me, I'm like, I didn't hear where the microphone was
going. I've done a whole podcast that way, Dave, where I didn't get, I was monkeying with my settings before the podcast. I didn't get them changed back. It was the camera mic and not the regular mic that it got set to. And what drove me crazy is I podcast with the same guys all the time, and you'd think one of them would say, hey, I don't think you're coming through your microphone. I got done. This was a while ago, but I got done with the podcast. I went back to edit it. I'm like, hey, guys, was anybody going to tell me that I was coming out of my camera mic? And so that's one of those things now. I can hear immediately, you know, a couple times when we've been podcasting, your mic, you know, I've been like, oh, are you coming through? Can you tap that mic? I have people tap, you know, just do this.
You're sitting there and you go, do you hear? No, nothing. And then you do this. You're like, oh, there we go. Okay.
Ah, there we're on. That's one of the very first sound checks that I do with everybody. You know, I bring in different people, like I said, on my podcast all the time. And I do them every single week. And the first thing I do is I'm like, grab your microphone and get it as close to you as possible. And then just tap on it for you to make sure that you have the right, that we have the right microphone.
I'm not sure. I'll try because I never officially hung up on Barbara. So this might be her again. We'll find out. Ending in 0978. What's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Dave and Jim, this is Matt. How are you?
It's not Barbara. It's Matt. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
Very good. Hey, I've got a question about stats for you.
Okay.
So I just started my podcast. I've only got 5 episodes out, but I've noticed there's just an inordinate number of downloads on my first episode, and they're almost all from Utah, and I wonder if you know of anything. It doesn't seem like that makes sense to me.
What was the topic about?
It's about agriculture, and it's about small agricultural service businesses. But the percentage of them coming out of Utah, it's like 275 from Utah and 6 from Idaho where I live. So it just,
there's a huge NSA facility in Utah, a data center that's there. So maybe the NSA is listening to you. No, all joking aside, that is true, but, yeah, you know, I see this from time to time with podcasters. So this is a question we see a lot in the podcasters group, both on Facebook and on Google Plus. Someone will see a big, gigantic spike in their numbers for some reason in some area. And it's probably, you know, something somewhere went awry in the download process and somebody downloaded that a bunch of times or was trying to get to it. It might have been even somebody was trying to get to it. It didn't download right the first time, and they just kept clicking and it downloaded. How many? From a number standpoint, I know you just said that, but what's the difference in numbers? I mean, are we talking hundreds in difference?
Hundreds,
tens.
Yeah, no, hundreds.
Yeah.
The other thing too. My first episode has literally like 300 downloads versus all my other episodes are like 20, 24 hits, that type of thing. And so I'm just trying to understand what goes on with like web crawlers or people who find these, where those numbers are coming from.
One of the things you can do, and it's been a while since I've done this, I believe it's the word links and then a colon. You go to, let me see if I can do this live and then I'll share my screen. In Google, you can basically...
Matt, who are you using for stats?
Libsyn.
That's okay.
Okay. I think it's links colon. If you in the Google search, that's not it either.
You could have also posted that somewhere or someone, you know, in that first show, you get pretty zealous about, you know, getting it out there and advertising it. And somebody could have picked that up on their Twitter feed or it could have gotten posted on someone's site somewhere that got high visibility in a particular area. It's so hard to tell. This is the part that drives podcasters crazy. Is like,
sure,
why so many on this first one, and then why do they dip so much? It's good you got 5 podcasts. Now you kind of have probably what your normal average is going to be going forward. You have a good baseline. That first one's going to be an anomaly of some, you got picked up somewhere. I've got some video, I just created a brand new video feed and, you know, typically with a brand new video feed, I get 75 to 150 downloads and one show got 500 and you're like,
okay,
why? you know, why did this show up? I still don't know. I hit new and noteworthy, but I'm not sure it was that, you know, who knows? So there's so many factors that go into this, including a runaway bot that may have just hit it over and over and over again. You know, who knows? Yeah. Sorry.
Well, that's what I figured, but
I think
I kind of figured that, but Libsyn advertises that if the same IP address hits it twice, it only counts it as one hit. So then I was confused. Anyway, I'm not really super worried.
Yeah,
about
you know. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You guys always talk about not. Sorry, I'm going to stop talking.
No, we should stop talking.
Yeah, that's it. I think I figured it out. If you go to the Google search box and type in link space and then your website, it shows you what websites are linking to yours.
Okay.
And there might show that somebody on a forum is saying, you got to listen to this podcast kind of thing. Because I can see where I'm on strugglingentrepreneur.com and manversusweb.com.
You should post that in the show notes, Dave, so that other folks can go back out and take a peek at that.
Yeah, I just typed link space and then the whole http:// to the School of Podcasting, and I could see, in theory, who is linking to my website, which according to this, 67,000 people. I'm like, that can't be right. But you never know if it's counting. That's why I always put a link to my website in my RSS feed. So if somebody is scraping my RSS feed, it'll point back to my website, if nothing else. You know, thanks for scraping my website and stealing my content, but at least I got a link on it. So, but yeah,
okay.
The good news, where can we find your podcast?
The title is the Off Farm Income Podcast, and the website is offincome.com. It's about small agricultural service businesses.
Cool.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate your podcast. I listen to you every chance I can get, and you've been real helpful. I really appreciate it.
Cool.
Well, thanks.
Cool. Thanks for calling in.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Take care.
I'm loving the niche. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah. No, I loved it. I love it. One of the things we'll have to get better at, because I just don't think we're going to find a service that doesn't have latency on the phone calls. And we're going to have to get a lot better at asking questions and then stopping up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems to be a little worse today than usual.
Yeah. I mean, it has been better, but today's latency is really bad. And it makes troubleshooting difficult, but I think it's just a discipline thing. It's something that if you're going to take calls, you're going to have to get used to, is unless you got a direct line in, you know, all these services that we use route through various things and there's latency involved. It's the discipline of asking a question and waiting, right? You got to get it right on the first try. You can't go back and clarify. The other thing you have to be good with is silence. You know, just know that nope, the other person's going to answer on the other end. You're just going to have to wait. So just disciplines for us to learn as we go forward.
That's it. And Jim, can you hang around?
Yeah.
We got
a
bunch of questions in the chat, but I looked at the clock and I'm like, hey, we're done. Man, time flies when you're having fun.
I know it does. It really goes fast. Last week you said that you're like, we're done. And I'm like, it can't be.
We just got going.
Just started.
Yeah. But, if you are a new listener, we are here every Saturday, and we usually do stick around a little bit and answer some more questions, and you know, just come out every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, askthepodcastcoach.com/live, and Jim, where can people find you?
Out at theaverageguy.tv.
You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 and get some money off your first month there. Come for the education. Stay for the community, schoolofpodcasting.com. So, thanks to the chat room, we are going to answer some questions here after the, because I see where people are already commenting on the whole link thing here.
Well, and I got new noteworthy I'll talk about too.
Yeah. So, thanks so much for tuning in. Jim, we have 58 seconds to kill. Let's see.
Dave, it's a brand new year.
It is a brand new year.
Ask the Podcast Coach. What are you hoping? What's the best thing that could happen in Ask the Podcast Coach in 2015?
More downloads, I guess, right? More people in the chat.
I think more callers.
More callers.
I'm hoping that we have a show full of callers.
Yes. Less chat questions, more phone calls.
Less latency, more calls.
Yeah, exactly. That would be it.
That's what I'm asking for.
You know what's weird, though? I thought Thursday was Friday because it's the whole holiday thing.
Oh, it's all messed up.
I was pumped up on Thursday. I'm like, tomorrow's F? No, it's not. Oh.
It's been great. I took a little staycation, a little 5 days off. And, man, I tell you what, when I realized Thursday night I still had a three-day weekend to come, I was like, yes.
And there we go. We'll see you next week. All right. And that's the end of that. So,
sweet.
And now we're going to pause for 10 seconds with no sound.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And there we go. See that now when I look at the recorded file, I'll know exactly where the show ends. It's an easy edit.
Where it
that
ends.
Way. Okay.
So Bill Conrad had asked me, when you hit new noteworthy, was it an increase in listenership? So, you know, what's odd is I've had an audio feed for 4 years, and I created video feeds, a video large and a video small. And it was the video large feed that hit new and noteworthy. So all this, if you listen to the show for any length of time, you know my hatred of new and noteworthy. I hate that thing.
Not the hatred
of
it's the obsession over new and noteworthy.
That's true. It's the obsession over it. But I did see an increase. The numbers have gone right back. It didn't. Nobody stayed. It was a significant bump. I mean, double, triple, quadruple my numbers for that one feed. But it didn't translate to any bump in my audio feeds. The other video feed didn't go up. It went right back. So it could just be always bad content. You know, let's just say maybe the people who say that I knew didn't like it, right? That's the only explanation for it, because I'm sure everybody else who hits new and noteworthy has gigantic amounts of success of maintaining their those new listeners.
Yeah, and then Scott had asked, it appears that pretty much every week he's getting the exact same number of hits each month. Is that due to automated RSS subscriptions? My answer would be, yeah, pretty much. You'll see a big, huge, that first day, man, it just, and then the second day a little less, third day a little less, and then what you will see is, as you get more and more episodes, what it levels off to, where it used to be like 1 and 2 and 3, when you now have, 50 shows, the back catalog's getting downloaded, so that number at the very bottom will get higher, because people are downloading the whole show. So,
Randy Cantrell says they need an old and insignificant section. I would hit it every time.
Yeah, I see. Daniel says he hit. Here's a great example. Daniel does the Once podcast at oncepodcast.com. Oh, I'm guessing. And so it's a seasonal thing. It's a TV show. And he's got a huge audience over there. And when he, when a new season comes out, it boom, right back into new and noteworthy. So it's
right.
Not for anyone who says you could only get in there once and it's you only have the first 8 weeks. Bullpucky, as my grandmother used to say. It's just not true. Oncepodcast.com, yes. So
and my feed, these are brand new video feeds that I had out that had been out maybe 6 to 8 weeks. And I had been advertising them to my listeners, and hey, I resisted the video feed idea, and I finally gave in, and so when I did them, they just, I hit it, they bumped up. In fact, let me look at the numbers right now. It was Home Tech Tips that did it for me, and let's see, I think it was the video large that got it, and so, I was, it's hard to tell. At the time, I was probably doing about 100 downloads, and then the 2 weeks or so that that I hit it, they went into the, went from 100 to probably 400, 300, 400. And now it's back at 100 again. So, yeah.
That's one of the things
I wish I could have picked the one, Dave. This wasn't the best one. That was like the worst possible show to show up at the time that I was doing new and noteworthy. I didn't have any tags in it. It was just a quick 7-minute video that I was just trying to get some information out, and I didn't. I was like, oh, I could, if I would have known it was going to hit new noteworthy, I would have done a better job of tagging it.
That's one of the things I think I'll do this year is when I post my show, I'm going to look at the last 4 episodes and take an average of the downloads and put it in a spreadsheet, because I'm trying to figure out over time, are my numbers going up or down, and they kind of go all over the place. And so to me, if I look at the last four episodes, take an average, that should be, I think, in theory, an idea.
Last four, if it's weekly.
Yeah, if it's weekly in this case, because I figured at that point, I'm going to still get more downloads. I mean, obviously my, you know, my very first episode is one of the most downloaded. Why? It's been there for 9 years. So yeah, it's got a little more of a head start. But if, for me, you know, my stuff is sometimes evergreen. For me, if I look at the last 4 weeks, that's where the majority of those downloads are going to come, unless it's 9 years old. And so that's what I want to do to just kind of, depending on how much work that is, because I don't want to spend, you know, if I just look at it and put it into a spreadsheet, okay, there we go. Because, again, that's, I don't want to obsess over my stats, but I don't want to, it would be nice to see.
I think they're good to look at from time to time, just to see where things are and how you're doing and, you know, what the numbers are. And you know, it's, to me, it's interesting on these video feeds, you know, they're fairly new in the last couple months and they are all over the place. I mean, like, as we go back to my last four, so to take your number, I would go 170, 183, 109, 61, right? And then 90, that's going backwards. That's newest to oldest. You would think that would be, and that's, you know, those are the, again, these feeds, you know, from the 90, it goes 215, 122, 119, and then another dip, 86, 106, 41. So this is, here's an RSS feed that, you would think a video, these are video, they're video feeds that I've only put out in RSS. You can't see them anywhere else, right? You would think if people would be subscribing to those and those numbers would get pretty consistent, and they're just not at this point. So that's a little bit different than what you'd expect. And maybe because the feed is new, they're not consistent, you know, there, but man, those things are all over the place. So if you start trying to figure out why,
that's where you go crazy.
Who knows? Right?
Yeah. As more people get into teaching podcasting, is it affecting your show downloads? I don't know. I don't, because it's not like I'm losing an audience. I know for myself and Daniel and Ray, I think we do a fair job of promoting each other. So I know I've gotten listeners from the Podcasters Roundtable. I've had people that will say, oh, I listened, I heard you on Daniel's show, and then I heard Daniel mention you, and I don't know if Daniel gets that as well, I would assume. You know, so I don't know if it's, my numbers are kind of always going, you know, if you could have been around in 2005, it was so cool because your graph just went, it looked like a hockey stick. It was just crazy. And I miss those days. But they're going up. It's not nothing crazy. I don't know that I'm ready to say I've plateaued, but it's just not as easy. And that's where, you know, that's the disadvantage of having multiple shows. If I had one show that could just go out and really just promote, you know, one day of production, 7 days of promotion, it'd be a different story. You know, so that's the thing where people want to start, you know, five and six shows. It's like, it's not a build it and you will come. It's build it and then find the people who need to hear it. Go out and make friends with them. Let them know you have a podcast. So I see Fred saying he can't get any response from Apple. Keep in mind they're on vacation. Since the last 2 weeks of the year, you probably won't hear a thing from Apple and realize they're going to be really backed up. I think they said through November 5th, and they're going to walk into a mountain of email. So I just podcast@apple.com. For me, anytime I've ever had to, number one, I don't reach out to them unless there's no other option, because I know it's awful. It's usually a day or two response, which is a bummer, because in the end, it took me a week to get a solution, because every day I would say, I tried this, it's not working. And they would say, try this. And I would try it. Okay, that didn't work either. Do we need to do this? And they would say, we need more information. And so every day it was like a sentence. And finally, when they got all the information, you know, it fixed it, but it took a while to do that. But
I mean, kind of like our telephone calls work.
Yeah, exactly. But, I should, I'm always in the top, I'm in the top, according to, Reagan, oh, what's that guy's name? I have a thing. I quit looking at it because, again, I was going to start losing my mind. Reagan Starr, let me see if I can find his name. Yeah. If you find him at, and I don't recommend this, by the way. Regan, REGANSTAR.com. I'll put this in the chat room. Has an app where every day you can get your rankings sent to you. I quit looking at them because it was cool. Because the one day it said you are number two in the podcasting category. And I'm like, well, I hope so. And, you know, and then I went over to iTunes. I went into that category and it was like, how do you tell who's what? And so I was like, eh, I quit looking at it, but you can see where you're ranked. And I was like, I was wasting a lot of time looking at that. And I'm like, in the end, I don't really care. So, I mean, I do care, but it's, you know, so. But.
Yeah, you gotta kind of, you know, block out some time, do some analysis, set some goals for it, you know, like, I'm going to do this with the numbers or I'm going to do that. And then when I'm done, I'm going to quit. Cause you're right. It can be, you know, for me, the Facebook and Google groups are a huge waste of time. You know, the podcaster groups out there, I spend too much time in there reading those things. I need to spend less time doing that stuff. I need to be creating more content and improving things as opposed to, getting involved in those groups. Not that getting involved in those groups is bad. It just can be a black hole.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many microphone discussions we've had in the Facebook group. Right?
Yeah.
And people all the time come in, you know, I love the ones, ATR 2100, discuss, you know, and you're like, I type out something. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be snarky on this.
That's the thing. It's me is with the Facebook group, whatever it is, Podcasters World, I think it is. There's a lot of people in that. I know right now there's an interesting thing going on because Rob from Libsyn put out a thing on Podcast 411 about the whole Twitter spam. And somebody actually came out and said, I ran a Twitter spam thing for, I think he said 36 hours. And he posted his numbers. And so I thought that was interesting that somebody came out and said, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm Twitter bombing. And but other than that, it is a lot of the same. Podcast. It's podcast. Let me find it for you, Daniel. I think it's called Podcasters World.
That's different than just the podcaster.
No, podcast community.
Podcast community is the one here. On copy. Yeah.
I think that's the one that has. Yeah.
I think Megan runs. Megan is the mod over there. She single-handedly keeps everybody in line.
Yeah, but there's Podcasters World and Podcasters podcast community on Facebook.
Right. Right.
And. Here's my question. How do you, and I think I almost found it the other day, I want to stay a member of this group. I'm tired of having it in my timeline because I log in and it's just nothing but, what do you think of this microphone? What do you hey, I'm new, you know, and it's like, I want to be able to go in and look at it when I want to, but it used to be I would log in and see my niece's pictures and my brother's pictures, and it was all. And for the record, if you ever asked to be my friend on Facebook, it's not that I hate you. It's a family thing. I don't have a lot of friends on Facebook because that's why I want to stay connected with my nieces and my great nephews and things like that. And I want to be part of this group, but it's like when I log in now, I have to scroll and scroll. Oh, there's you know, like I have a great niece that just turned 5.
I think you can take it out of your your notifications. I think you can take it out of your timeline.
Yeah,
I think there's a checkbox that says no longer show this in my timeline.
Yeah, and I was trying to because I'm in podcasters.
That's a good idea.
And I'm like, okay, I know it's here somewhere. I just can't find it. Let's see if these. Good discussion for next week. Productivity.
Yeah,
it is actually. Let's see. I can see members, events, but there's nothing here like, you know, I know there is, I think, if you are the moderator or something like that, but I'm like, I want to be in the group. I just don't want to have 8 bazillion, you know, posts going through my timeline because some of these get kind of, you know, I can see. This is where I'm at. I cannot figure out how to stay in the group. But please take it out of my timeline and let me.
I think go into the upper right-hand corner go to notifications and just turn them off. Well, let's see. No, maybe
notifications off. See, I have mine to off.
You're still seeing
and
it.
When I go to my, when I log into Facebook, it's nothing but that group. And I'm like, so maybe it's under edit settings. Here we go.
Scott says upper right-hand corner of the post. Click on the little down arrow.
And say.
And choose. I don't want to see this.
Yeah, I even have under the group where it says notify me about, I have that set to off. Let me go back to my timeline. I just know when I log in to Facebook, that's where I used to see tons of pictures of my family and friends. I now, it's all, you know, maybe I just need to click on my name. Yeah, okay.
Oh, newsfeed preferences.
That's it. It's my newsfeed. Because if I go,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yep, just go to newsfeed preferences out of there and podcast community following, no longer follow. Now, the question is, will it stay in my groups? Because I do want to see, like on the right-hand side, yeah, it did.
Here it is. Unfollow podcast community. Stop seeing posts, but stay in group right there. Exactly.
There
so when you see a post there, beautiful. That's what I want. Because I'm like, nothing against, I love the group, but I'm with you. I want to, you know, there are times when I want to go play in there and there are times when I don't. Beautiful. Yeah, because that was driving me nuts. I'm like, I like this group, but it had taken over my news. So, very cool. Yes, now I can see pictures of Christmas cookies and all the important stuff. Awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah, gets it done for you, so.
Yay, chat room.
Gets it done. Ooh, today is the 3rd, isn't it? A buddy of mine gets married today. Fellow Omaha podcaster getting married today. So his, I'll tell you what, his podcasts have like just dropped off the planet in the last 4 weeks.
Well,
just with Christmas and his wedding and everything going on, he just stopped.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because Mike and Isabella of Music Radio Creative, I had sent them an email that basically said happy holidays, yada, yada, yada. And of course, those are the people that made the jingle at the beginning of my show, the School of Pod. And I couldn't find the original version of that. I just had the produced version where I have it mixed into the music. I'm like, do you guys still have that file? And so they sent it over and I'm like, how's the pregnancy going? She's down to like weeks. So she's going to give birth here shortly. And that will be interesting because they just launched a bunch of podcasts last year. It'll be interesting to see if Branding Cow and the one that I think is just called Podcast About Podcasting, because we know, man, one of the number one reasons for pod fading is those lovely little boogers called babies.
Well, they get, yeah, yeah. No, it gets, I'm kind of glad I'm through that phase of my life.
I can't imagine. What would be my niece-in-law was in from, and she has an awesome baby. I mean, he's just this happy-go-lucky little guy, man, but when he's hungry, everybody knows it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I know. It's nice to be done. It's nice to be done. You know, it was weird. I podcast Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. And I took Christmas off, and we did one on New Year's Day. And I felt like it had been a long time since I'd podcasted. You know, I'd just taken 1 week off, and I'd even podcasted with you on the weekends. And I was still like, this feels weird. I just hadn't felt like I'd done it, you know, just to be out of the chair for a week or be out of the rotation for a week felt really strange, but it was good to get back at it and good to get one done. In fact, I, because of the extra time, I got all the production done yesterday. So it's sitting, waiting. Typically I would do it after the show here. I would sit here and spend the next couple hours producing it and posting it. It's all ready to go. All I got to do is click publish and then a few posts upload it to a few other sites and call it good. By the way, I see you've been using SoundCloud a little more with trying to get their players in embedded, and man, on Google Plus, that player is sweet.
Yeah, I just I've been uploading. Oh man, I forgot to mention this on the show. Here's the interesting thing with Microsoft. Somebody's using the Microsoft app, and Microsoft's whatever found my SoundCloud feed. So this guy's like, hey, I heard about you from Jim. Ken is his name. And I listened to you. I've listened to Jim for years. And I found you on Ask the Podcast Coach, and I want to let you know that, let's see if I'm...
This is Ken from my group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he basically,
real faithful listener.
And he said, "Do you know that one of your shows has a bunch of swearing in it?" And I'm like, because he said, "Oh, I listened to Building a Better Dave, and I just want to let you know that, you know, that one's kind of risky." And I'm like, "Well, I said the word dildo," and I'm like, "Well, I did say, you know, hey, if you have kids in the car, you might want to shut it off now. I gave a disclaimer." And he's like, "No, you're dropping F-bombs." And I'm like, "I don't know." Well, what it was is he was listening to an episode of The Musician's Cooler, which I gave a very blatant disclaimer at the beginning. I said, "I'm going to play a clip from Ice, whose favorite word is MF and F and F and M and F." And I was like, and I just got lazy. I'm like, "I'm not going to bleep those out because that'll take me an hour and a half." And so basically, to make a long story short, his Microsoft app, like, was subscribed to my SoundCloud. Well, he was downloading every one of my shows, like the Jillian, because he sent me a screenshot and there was Ice-T and Jillian Michaels. And I'm like, "How do you get those?" And I'm like, "It's SoundCloud." And then I saw the clip. So that's a weird Microsoft thing. Microsoft is picking up RSS feeds or something, and he's getting all of my shows, and that's what he's like.
They're picking up the RSS feeds from SoundCloud automatically without you authorizing them to?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, because I know that's what they're doing. They look for RSS feeds, and
that was Keith, by the way, not Ken, but Keith's out in Colorado. He's a good friend. He's been around the
yes,
neighborhood,
Mr. Lunsford,
for quite a while. Uh-huh, Keith Lunsford.
Yeah.
Quadcopter extraordinaire. Keith, how's that quadcopter working? I had Keith on. He bought a quadcopter, and we did a whole quadcopter show. And it says the Windows Phone podcast app picks up all of Dave's streams into one list.
Yeah.
So maybe they're picking you up. Interesting. I wonder what that feed is. That's.
Yeah, I would just.
That would be messy. God, that would be messy. I get the whole idea of doing it automatically and not having to have a staff to keep track of RSS feeds, but. Good night. That could be ugly.
Yeah, I just was like, normally most of my shows are fairly, you know, G-rated.
Yeah.
And if I do anything remotely, I will always kind of, you know, go that route and give a disclaimer. I usually don't, you know. But I just thought that was weird. He's like, "Yeah, you're swearing." I'm like, "Well, it wasn't me. It was Ice-T." So.
It was Ice-T.
Yeah. So. Because his favorite word is, yeah. So, and that's half the reason I like that show. It's really because that guy has a different, completely different point of view than I do.
Uh-huh.
And he's also got a really interesting take on entertainment. And I mean, because here's a guy, he's written books. He's a rap star. He's a hard, heavy metal guy. And he's also a cop on CSI or whatever, Special Victims Unit, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's really smart. He's like, "Look, man, I've been doing that show for 16 years. Until it goes off the air, I'm going to take that paycheck." You know, everybody else is like, "No, I wanted to stretch my acting wings." He's like, "No, no, it's a good paycheck. I'm just going to stay right here until they tell me to leave. Till I take a bullet on the show, I'm going to be on SVU. So he's a pretty funny guy.
You're a David Jackson. You have DavidJackson.com, right?
I have DavidJackson.org. David Jackson is really
tired. DavidJackson.com is somebody else.
It's a photographer who's really, really, really tired of me asking him. I haven't asked him in about 5 years, but for a while, every year I'd be like, "Hey, I see it's coming up for renewal." Yeah, because you can see he's doing nothing with it. It's a really...
Hey, with the SoundCloud player in Google Plus, you just put the link. You just put the SoundCloud link in there?
What I do is in SoundCloud, let me share my screen.
Because that is legitimately cool. When I saw that from last week's episode, so you put a header on there. And it puts a really nice player. The one thing I wish they would do is it put an actual play button, right? But if you click anywhere on there, it'll take you to the player and just play it. And that's pretty cool.
What I do is, like, here's the Ice-T one, right? And so if I go into this episode and I go to share, I can just say put it on Google Plus.
So do you have an RSS feed off of davidjackson.org?
I have... There should be one. I mean, it's just a blog. There's no podcast on davidjackson.org.
So Keith is saying that's the feed that they're picking it up for. They picked up that Ice-T episode from.
But that's not on davidjackson.org. That's what's really weird. I mean, there's
that's kind of strange.
Unless I have a link to SoundCloud on there. which could be. Because the only thing I think streaming on there right now is my Radionomy channel, which is my live thing.
Is this WordPress?
This is WordPress, yeah. It's the,
so it's just davidjackson.org/feed.
Yeah, would be... Yeah, because there's no... Well, that looks really horrible. That's weird. Oh, there we go. It wasn't fully loaded. I'm like, what's going on? Yeah, there's no... There's only... The only thing on there is for Google Podcasting.
Oh.
So
Keith's checking again.
It's very, very weird. But yeah, this is how I shared it. I just... You go in here and you can throw it on Tumblr and Google Plus and Pinterest. You can email and tweet. But they were talking about how putting people, Iron Maiden, basically, when they got a Facebook group, didn't have many people. So they started taking pictures from the stage. And to tag yourself in the photo, you have to like them. So all of a sudden, they got a bazillion likes because people wanted to tag themselves. Look, here I am in the front row of Iron Maiden. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. So,
yeah, there's some interesting...
I just realized
you talk about.
I never shared my screen, did I?
No.
Okay. It's this button here. Because I'm like going, wait a minute, where's my stop button? When you go share, this comes up. Where do you want to show?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Just do it from Google Plus.
Yeah. And you can even tell it where to start from and things like that.
So. I like the SoundCloud player for that. Although there's a couple other good ones, with... When Audio Boom has a really nice player, Shout Engine has a fairly nice player. It's made me think twice about how I share those posts out there. And I have not purchased SoundCloud, so I'm still using their free, which means I have to rotate my audio through. And it's made me think twice about maybe buying a subscription to SoundCloud just to have that ability as we blast that out. One of the things I've been trying to do is kind of share the love around, hoping it will get picked up somewhere by somebody and get advertised. But
yeah, I don't get a lot of plays. I'd have to go back and look, but it's usually, single low double digits unless I put it like in some cases, like on the Jillian Michaels show, I just did a test where I turned off the PowerPress player and put the SoundCloud player just for giggles, just to see what kind of plays I would. So I could see how many people are listening on the website, And that, got up to like 60 or 70. That show is hilarious because I'll put it out now because it's fat season. So, and people will buy her stuff, but
it's fat season.
Yeah.
You said something I was going to,
SoundCloud,
SoundCloud. Oh, I've had the same experience with every site except Audio Boom. That has been, that has been a gold mine. If their numbers are right, I'm getting hundreds of listens on Audio Boom. I use the Audio Boom player on my site. In the right-hand column, they have an embeddable player that shows the last 5 podcasts that I have out there. I have to upload those. There's no connection to the RSS feed. I upload them, but I have a pretty good deal through Audio Boom, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend paying for the service, but they have a nice player, and I had one podcast hit 1,000 listens out there. That's as many as I get in my RSS feed every month. So I would say...
where do you get your... Oh, there it is. Jason said he had 104 plays. All my shows on SoundCloud in December, 568 plays. 109 for More Podcast Money. No, my top play is a Jillian Michaels one, 80 plays, because that's on the website. That's not via, that was my experiment. In fact, they're all Jillian Michaels stuff because I've been playing with that. And then there's one Building a Better Dave. But 500 downloads or listens, it's like, okay, is that worth $15?
People are listening to it out there. It's a tool, right? Depends on. I asked you about Podomatic. I still continue to get my Podomatic numbers are crazy. They're in the hundreds, and I haven't done anything out there. And Podomatic's hard to get to, right? That's not an easy one to find, nor a community that is advertising very much. So I do know that, I'm in the 3,000s in the rankings out there. I'm in the 3,000s. And last, let me look at this last podcast episode. Oops, that's not what I wanted. View. I know you hate these guys, but my last
the way you're using
88
them,
plays.
The way you're using them, you know, they're not your primary thing. It's just a, you know,
it's just a place I go, and I still continue. Like within 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I get over 100 plays out there, and that's not bad for a platform. Somebody's list. And it's not like it's automatically, because on Podomatic, you have to work at it, right? They don't have an app. They don't have anything. You got to go to the website. You got to click play to get this. And I could see if I had one that spiked, but I consistently get 100 to 150 listens for every single podcast that I put out there. And that's just a number. I started there, and then I moved off of them and, you know, got a traditional RSS feed and that stuff. And I was going to shut it down. And I thought, I might as well just stay out there. You know, and boy, that audience has grown to the point where I'm almost using up all my free bandwidth.
Wow.
That's out there every month.
That's wild.
Yeah. I'd asked you, should I pay for it? And you said, yeah, if you're getting listens, go ahead and pay for it. And I haven't yet. But it's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep doing it until they tell me to stop.
Right.
You know, until they tell me I can't do it anymore. Let's see, because I get right now, and I just switched over, so I get 15 gig of bandwidth per month, and that's plenty for what I'm doing out there. 500 mega storage. I wish that was a little bit more.
Wow. I'm looking at the RSS that Keith sent. Users /sounds.rss. You know, which I'm assuming is from SoundCloud. Yeah, the first one he says is from... So, yeah, that's where he's getting all my stuff.
Huh.
Which is interesting, because a lot of times I'll put the unedited version of Ask the Podcast Coach up there. I'm like, there you go.
On SoundCloud?
Yeah. But.
Well, that, you know, one of the things I did in Spreaker this week is I created another show that's just for live. So, because what I was doing is, especially at Gallup, we actually use Spreaker's RSS feeds. But which is a little dangerous, because you produce a live show and it automatically goes into the RSS feed, and then people get it, and then you remove it, and it creates a lot of confusion on your RSS feed. So I'm breaking down RSS feeds by show now on Spreaker, and we'll actually create new RSS feeds here in the next couple months. But on Spreaker, I created a new show. I called it Live, you know, a tag podcast live. So when I go live on Spreaker, I designate that. You know, how you can, when you go live, you can designate the show. I put it there. And then it drops that live version down into its kind of its own little sub area where I don't have to feel like I have to delete it. When it was in my regular feed, I would go back and delete the live version of it. But then there's numbers tied to it, you know, and it's like, oh, I kind of want to know who's listening live.
Right.
So that was a little tip on Spreaker to kind of get your live show separated from the rest of your shows and still hold on to them, right? Mixler is a mess. If you do anything live with showreels, Mixler is just a horrible mess. I wouldn't recommend that at all. But Spreaker has gotten better and better with that. So that was a new thing. I should save that for the show. But that's a new thing that I did in the last couple of weeks, both at Gallup and at home, to kind of separate. And I used it this last Thursday. It works super nice. So now when I go out to my Spreaker feed, I've got this separate show. Spreak. I've got this separate show out there called Live, you know, when I go to my profile and then episodes, it's there. It says Home Gadget Geeks 197 Live, but it's its own complete show. So it's completely separate from everything else. And I don't feel like I have to delete it, and I can track the plays.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I'm not going to submit it to iHeartRadio, right?
Right.
I don't want the live stuff going out to iHeartRadio, which before when I was, because Home Gadget Geeks is a feed that is in iHeartRadio, all the live stuff. And once it goes to iHeartRadio, there's nothing you can do with it, right?
Oh.
You can't move it around. You can't. Spreaker freaking locks that thing in.
Well, I know you can change the audio. My question
is...
Yeah,
you can swap the audio out.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is cool, but I've always wondered, like, you know, is that the same audio? Like, does iHeartRadio pull it once and that's...
Right. That's a good question.
Yeah. iHeartRadio is another fun one. Have fun trying to get somebody from them, like, into a conversation. It's there's not much. I mean, they do answer emails occasionally, but most of the time we can't comment on that. So
Daniel, what podcast about podcasting would you say gets to the point the quickest with the least detail? Is he trolling out there? Is that what he's trying to do? Is he trolling for Audacity to podcast? Daniel, you know I'm just kidding.
Didn't Gotta like how in-depth I get. Yeah.
Hey, you got to be true to yourself in every show. Just got to keep doing what you do best. And
why would you not
fall.
Like in-depth stuff?
And then I would say, hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate the feedback and thanks for listening.
Some other people. Yeah.
God be with you as you go.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, that's weird. That's wow. Can I quote that in the story, Daniel? I'm writing an article on Podtertainment Magazine about my last show and what I learned. And so,
yeah, in fact, when I need in depth, I kind of go to Daniel. Like if I'm going to need to get all the details out of it, cause he is methodical about the way he walks through step by step and all those things. And so lots of good stuff, you know, lots of good stuff out there. I don't listen to it every week just cause it doesn't, I don't have the time there, but I know when I need to get something. For sure, I can pop out there.
I know I missed it this week. It was weird. I went to my podcast category and I'm like, there's no Daniel this week, man. He took Christmas off. Where's my Daniel? So it was weird. But yeah, it was really it was sparse. You know, the last couple of weeks, there were a couple of people that took the week off. So
yeah. Well, that's good though. Everybody should take some time off. I've used the week, last 5 days, 4 days. I still have a full day and a half off, which is awesome to get caught up here. And in fact, I'm building a new storage server, and I was moving some backup stuff to it, and I've totally whacked one of my PCs.
Oh, fun.
So yeah. So last night I'm like, oh, I have to rebuild it. So I was rebuilding it last night. I was going to put Windows 8 on it, and that doesn't support Media Center, and that was the TV, or that's the PC I used to watch TV on. I'm like, oh, crap, that's not going to work. So later on this afternoon, it will get put back, Windows 7 will get put back on there, and we'll rebuild that piece up and get it. So been one of those things, check your backup. You know, I put a little, I put a few notes together for my own podcast about things that are good to do at the end of the year when we think about, you know, because there's just some things uniquely that you should do at the end of the year. We talked about backups last week, but storage is one of those. Checking your UPS, right? If you have UPS on your computers, battery backup on your computers, end of the year is a good time. Make sure that battery still works.
Yeah, mine
does. Yeah, and replace it, either the UPS or replace the battery. You can take those in and get them replaced.
Yeah.
And then getting your data all organized, right? End of the year is a good time to make that 2014 folder and start moving.
That's what I did. That's funny you said that. Because I had a whole big old list of Ask the Podcast Coach. I'm like, you know what? That needs a 2014 folder.
Yeah. And then the other thing to check, I think end of the year, check your modem, right? If some people bought, they have the same modem that their ISP gave them, whether it's DSL or cable.
Right.
And there's been some major upgrades that have gone on in the last couple of years, and they can get more speed just by upgrading that modem. So it might be a time to get that done as well. So those just some things, you know, it's like checking your batteries and your smoke detectors. There's certain things I think you should be doing. Keith says his main HTPC is Windows 8 one with Media Center. Yeah, Keith, I didn't want to. It, right now, with the way things are for me, it's a $100 upgrade to get the Media Center there. I missed all that stuff when it first came out, so I'm back to Windows 7.
I was amazed.
Which is not a big deal.
They're mentioning here they can't find the RSS and things like that. I was amazed because what I did with my, you know, my favorite podcast is I sent emails to most people that especially people I weren't familiar with. Maybe it was the first time they submitted or whatever, to say, hey, thanks for submitting. The episode is out. And then I also went to the people that said, you know, somebody said you were their favorite. And I was amazed at how many people, like, if you want to actually contact somebody, finding contact, like, some people had to go to Twitter because they had no contact information on their website. I'm like, okay, so you want to grow, you want to connect with your audience, but you're going to make them jump through 37 hoops to get to you. I'm like, wow, I was just amazed at that. I was like, okay, I guess I'll, send them a tweet. So.
Yeah, well, that's. I think that highlights the need for when you think about your landing page, the very first page they land on. They should have a way to find, you know, on my site you've got an about page and a subscribe page that are very, very. Those are the first two things, mm-hmm. you know, going left to right. I have home, but then about, subscribe. Those are the two for me. Those are the two most important things that I want people to think about when they land on the page.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I should probably, anybody know who the guest is today on the new media show? I know they're streaming live. And that's the other good news. Probably maybe by next week, we'll have an answer on the whole ITPC.
Oh yeah.
Controversy to see.
Be good to get. Yeah. I got to go grab a snack.
That's me. I have lunch and then I'm going to prep for my 3 o'clock meeting, record the School of Podcasting.
Mastermind.
I have a little mastermind. We call them, I used to call them roundtables back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And now I call them think tanks. And I think I'm going to change them to office hours to kind of go with the whole school thing.
That's nice.
So,
yeah.
And it's just, it's just like, they're usually supposed to be like an hour and a half. They're always like 3 hours long. It's a lot like the show. You just start talking and chatting and Googling together. So, but, I don't know where Todd's, I'm trying to find, I'm at New Media Show.
Daniel says it's not live.
Oh, that's right. They're not doing a show this week. That's right. Next 2 weeks.
CES.
Yeah, so.
CES. I'm doing some live CES coverage Sunday night on a Ferrar network, but it'll be crazy. I used to go to CES to begin with, and then a couple years ago, we did live coverage all week. So I would be on. I'd go to work early. I'd get home at noon, and then from basically 1 p.m. till about 9 p.m., we'd do live coverage. I had a guy on the floor, and we'd do interviews and stuff. Man, that was a lot of work. I was, by the end of the week, I'd done 40 hours worth of live coverage from there.
Wow.
Yeah. Talk about ears hurting by the time you're done.
Awesome.
No voice and ears hurting. So, all right, man. Have a good week. Right,
we'll
catch you next week.
Yep.
Take care.
See you
guys. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yep. Take care. And for more information on podcasting, visit us at schoolofpodcasting.com.